Welcome to the podcast that puts a finger on the pulse of medicine and technology. On this show, you'll hear from investors, industry executives, and healthcare providers on the science and business of medicine. I'm your host, Omar M. Khatib, and this is the State of MedTech.
What's going on, everybody? So I decided to do a special episode on the big news. The big news being that yet another massive tech giant has now entered the med tech space. I told you guys. Remember? And to be honest with you, it wasn't really much of a prediction, you know, which was the end of last year, good old Uncle Larry over at Oracle makes the biggest acquisition of his entire career and acquires Cerner for $30 billion or $28 billion, somewhat, something like that. And to me, that was a real indication that big tech was really ready to move into healthcare in a meaningful way. I know Google has all these projects and, you know, with Verily, which, by the way, I can't even name a commercialized product from them. Sorry, guys. It just, you know, I can't think of one, right? I might be mistaken. And then Apple, I know, has Apple Watch. But these are all more on the consumer side of healthcare. And I'm talking about the B2B with a big capital B business of healthcare, right? And so now Amazon acquires One Medical for a little over $3 billion, right? So these have massive implications. So I wrote this article. If you are interested in it, check the notes below. You can click the article and see it and read it. Of course, there's some infographics along with it you'll appreciate. And if you're a physician or a clinician of any kind, you're a nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, etc., you're a surgeon, you know, check the notes. I'm making the CME eligible for free. So the State of MedTech, we are partnered with CMFI. We've decided all our CMEs are free. Like, I'm making them all free. So you just click the link, go write a couple of sentences of what you learned, specifically what stood out to you from this episode, and you get a free CME. You don't have to pay for it. I'm paying for it. So there's that. So, and for those of you who are medical salespeople, here's a smart idea. If you're trying to develop a relationship with a doctor, send them this article or this podcast and say, hey, you get a free CME with this. So not only does it show that, A, you're staying ahead by getting involved with big things in healthcare, you're getting an understanding from it, etc. You're providing value to them by giving them a CME credit, right? Or at least they unlock a CME credit. So with that said, let's go. I'm gonna read through this article. And for those who are watching this on YouTube, I've been told that people actually like this. So we'll see how that works. Okay. So again, last year, Oracle bought Cerner, right? It wasn't much of a prediction for me to say that, like, that tech was going, you know, going to go into, big tech was coming into the healthcare arena. So recently, again, Amazon made its big next big move into healthcare, and they announced an agreement to acquire primary care provider One Medical in a deal valued $33.9 billion, okay? Now, this deal allows the company to integrate its bread and butter, technology enablement, convenience, and low cost into primary care to increase access for patients across the country, right? Now, the deal is the latest on an increasingly long list of moves Amazon has made in the healthcare industry, right? So some other examples include buying PillPack. One of my good friends, Sharzad, actually worked over at PillPack, which is the company's online pharmacy. Plus, they launched Amazon Care, which is its telehealth business for employers. I'm going to go into this in a little bit. Now, Nathan Ray, who's a partner at the consulting firm West Monroe, commented that this move tells us both that Amazon is aware of what they lack, but also that they really may not have a grand strategy as of yet, but are continuing to find value buying, particularly on the downbeat of the market here, developing both solutions and services within the healthcare space that gives them options. Others have also said the same thing. I personally disagree in the sense they don't have a grand strategy. And I actually do believe that there's a path to a major revenue opportunity here, and more importantly, innovation opportunity. Granted, this is full of risk, but I'll tell you, if anyone is a master of return on risk, it's going to be Jeff Bezos and Amazon, all right? So let's start with the basic. What is One Medical, all right? And, you know, fortunately, this is a complicated topic that was simplified. I have to give a shout out. I have to give credit where credit is due. Dr. Eric Bricker, who has a great channel called A Healthcare Z on YouTube, also on LinkedIn. And he's very big when it comes to value-based care, healthcare systems, healthcare insurance. I mean, he takes extremely complicated topics and simplifies them. So I watched a couple of his videos on this topic before I did my own research. It really helped a lot. So I just get to give a shout out there, give credit where credit is due. So One Medical, what is it? It's an advanced primary care company that has 188 clinics across 17 metroplexes, such as San Francisco, Phoenix, Dallas, Houston, and Atlanta. It's also publicly traded, right? Their stock opened at $12 a share a few years ago and grew to $60 a share. But within the last 12 months, unfortunately, that stock had a free fall of 70% to $18 where Amazon purchased it. So if you're a shareholder, I mean, you did get some return on your investment. It would have been nicer if they exited at like $50 or something, but you know, something's better than nothing. And as you can see here, that stock graph doesn't look good. You don't want a bell curve when it comes to your stock, right? And again, for those who are, if you're listening to this, you can either watch this video on YouTube or just click the link in the notes below and just go straight to the article. You can listen and read along. If you like people reading to you, I've been told I have a very nice voice. So that all said, One Medical's position as a well-known early player with strong brand equity outweighs these shortcomings. And that's according to Dina Shakir, partner at Lux Capital, right? So big thing there is that Dina feels that because they're a well-known player early, you know, with strong brand equity, that helps, right? And I would agree. You know, I'm not very big on this concept of brand equity, but let's just put it this way. If you're entering a category, right, and you are somewhat of a category king, right? You own that category. When I say streaming movies, I mean, we all think Netflix, right? When I say energy shot, we all think 5-Hour Energy. So if it's really true that when somebody says advanced primary care and it's One Medical, great. So she noted, supposedly at Lux Capital, that a lot of the startups that they were being pitched were being noted as the One Medical for XYZ. Her words, not mine, okay? Now, this will be the third most expensive acquisition that Amazon has ever made, right? That's a big thing that they've ever made. And this is following their number one biggest acquisition. What do you think it is? Before I reveal it, for those who are listening, what do you think Amazon's biggest acquisition is? For those of you who guessed Whole Foods, you are correct. Whole Foods was purchased for $13.6 billion in 2017, and the second largest is MGM, you know, the MGM Studios, right, at $8.45 billion earlier this year, all right? Now, you know, again, reviewing the acquisition history, Whole Foods, $13.6 billion, MGM, $8.45 billion, One Medical, $3.9 billion, okay? Now, what the hell is advanced primary care? Let me tell you. Advanced primary care is a medical practice that shifts the focus of primary care toward quality. I know, we've all heard this BS before. You know, we keep hearing value-based care, but we're still doing like fee-for-service. But, you know, I'm going to keep going on. So rather than focusing on numbers, advanced primary care essentially ensures that patients are provided with high-quality care. It also allows providers to be free of traditional time constraints due to the need of seeing high volume patients or a high volume of patients, right? Which is nice. That's what every clinician wants. They want more time with their patients. They want to do a good job. And the goal is to allow clinicians to spend more time and provide more comprehensive care to their patients. Great. Plus, and this is the nice thing about advanced primary care, if a patient needs to be referred to a specialist for more additional services, guess what? APC practices can maintain that relationship and ensure that the patient's care is thoroughly coordinated throughout the treatment process, which means they don't just have to refer in-network, right? That's the one great thing being a primary care physician is that you develop these relationships with different specialists and you kind of, you know, you it's like building a house, right? You know, if a patient's disease care is like building a house, you know, there might be one carpenter who does a great job of big grand entrances and doors. And there might be another carpenter that does a better job with more modern doors, right? But in today's world, like if you're a primary care physician, you work for a health system, it's like you got one carpenter to pick. Like you can only go to these carpenters, right? So the improved effectiveness of primary care at the population level leads to substantial decreases in cost for patients, right? That's the goal. So what does One Medical actually do, right? Well, it's actually two businesses in one. So last year, One Medical acquired a company called Iora Health, I-O-R-A, a value-based primary care group with built-for-purpose technology focused on serving Medicare populations who are adults 65 plus and are enrolled in Medicare Advantage and other at-risk reimbursement models. Okay, the acquisition was in an all-stock transaction. That's a mouthful. The acquisition was in an all-stock transaction, okay? And the value of that, $2.1 billion, right? Like that's a big acquisition. Like you've been public for a couple of years. I mean, they're not making money hand over the fist over there when they were public. I hate to say it. So that's a big acquisition. But let me tell you, that whoever thought of doing the acquisition, man, if I was an investor, I would kiss them on their head. All right, so here's why. I'm going to explain why. So in a statement from One Medical, here are the strategic and financial benefits that were listed to justify this transaction. I picked a few of them and I bolded key phrases for specific points that I felt were notable. So one, creates a premier national member-based technology-powered primary care platform to deliver better health, better care, lower costs across commercial and Medicare populations. Okay, another one, extends One Medical's platform, key point here, to deliver multimodal care with 24/7 national digital health and in-person care across a combined 28 markets and beyond. Expands potential market opportunity to $870 billion worth across commercial and Medicare segments, which includes, key point, new Medicare Direct Contracting Program. Are you guys getting ahead? Some of you guys are thinking ahead. You're thinking too fast for this, but you're smart. That's why you listen to this show. I really believe I have the smartest audience in healthcare. And enhances One Medical's risk-taking capabilities and extends One Medical into full-risk Medicare reimbursement models. So, how the hell do these people make money? Let me tell you. After acquiring, and this is, I mean, I used to not be interested in this stuff because, you know, it is kind of boring. After learning about how this stuff works, this is fascinating to me. And wait till I translate this to what Amazon's up to. It's going to blow your mind, all right? After acquiring Iora Health, okay, we can fast forward to this year and just we're going to look at One Medical's quarterly earnings, okay? Half of their revenue, so really pay attention to what I'm saying here. Half, okay? We look at One Medical's earnings, so just picture a big pile of money. I'm going to take, you know, half of that money and put it aside. So half of that money, half of the revenue came from 95%, okay, of the 700,000 members it has, right? Or, you know, 700,000 patients, okay, which come from contracting with employers to provide primary care services and charge fee for service. So One Medical would contract with an employer, like let's say a Walmart or something, you know, and insure those patients, okay? So again, half the revenue, okay? And I think the total revenue is like, I don't know, $250 million. So it's $120 million that came from 95% of its members. For those of you, again, I have the smartest audience in medtech, right? You guys already, a lot of you, your spidey sense went off and said, wait a minute. Yep, you are correct. The other half, $120 million, which is probably why Amazon purchased them, because the other half of One Medical's revenue, again, I'm going off of memory here. I think they did 250 mil in revenue. So $125 million. I'm doing math on the flyer. $125 million came from 95% of its members, which is the employer side. The other $125 million, which accounts for 50% of its revenue, came from only 5% or 39,000 members, which comes from the risk-bearing capitated payments from Medicare Advantage plans to provide primary care service for their beneficiaries. Again, big shout out to Dr. Eric Bigger, who does a fantastic job. He broke this down. You know, he just pulls a whiteboard together and just writes a bunch of stuff and walks you through it. He did a great job of breaking this down because it is complicated. So those Medicare Advantage members are a direct result of One Medical's acquisition of IOR Health last year. Like, that's like, take IOR Health out of it, One Medical is not getting acquired by Amazon, I don't think, and they're just going to go to zero, right? Or they're going to continue losing money. And so their year over year revenue is literally up 100% because of that, right? However, their organic member growth is only up 28%, even while it lost money every quarter and had $28 million in losses just in Q1 of 2022, this year, right? Think about that. So when you're, you know, for those of you who are not entrepreneurs, or maybe you're an entrepreneur with a small E, or maybe you're a wantrepreneur, which is totally okay. I was a wantrepreneur for many, many years. You know, I had my job and I did little entrepreneurial things on the side. When you have a business and you look at your numbers and you say half, if not more, I mean, for me, it's like 20, 30%. But when half of your revenue is coming from 5% of your customers, that's your business. Like, it's like, screw the rest of the business. This is our new business around. Okay. Now, big picture, where's all the money in healthcare? Right? So as we saw with One Medical, having the right model, it's going to make a huge difference in your revenue. It just is. Keep in mind though, after acquiring IORA, half of One Medical's revenue came from only 5% of its members. 5%, which were the Medicare Advantage, right? So if you look at the chart below, which unfortunately for those of you listening can't see it, but I'm going to read it to you because I'm a nice guy and I love my audience, right? The older the person, the more spent on their healthcare. There's just more revenue per person when you go above the age of 65, which again, why did half of their revenue come from 5% of its members? It's because all those people were Medicare Advantage, which are 65 plus. So I'm looking at a chart courtesy of Health System Tracker from Peterson KFF, right? And it shows that health costs increase as individuals get older, and this trend persists by insurance status and sex. So if I look at these graphs here, right? Based on, let's say, had insurance versus didn't have insurance, okay? If you're under the age of 19, you spent $2,000, $2,400 on healthcare costs. If you were uninsured, it was $848. I'm going to just, you know, read off, like, if you had insurance, this is the average spend, average total healthcare spending by insurance, okay, this is in 2019. 19 to 34, it's $3,834. 35, age 35 to 40, $5,000. 45 to 54, $7,000. 55 to 64, $10,000. 65 plus, $13,000. That's a huge difference, okay? And it's the discrepancy is even more. When I looked, I couldn't find a good chart. But for 2021, I think 65 plus, they're spending like $17,000 because we were coming out of like COVID and stuff, right? So it's the discrepancy is even bigger, okay? So when it comes to advanced primary care, really anything in healthcare, and people, especially my MedTech audience, will appreciate this. When you place a robot in a healthcare system, when you place a navigation system, when you place any high-tech technology, how do you make money aside from the placement? Utilization. That's the key. Even if you, let's say you don't have a disposable model, you don't have a recurring revenue model, you just sell one time and it's done. Utilization is key because guess what? If your product and technology is being utilized, then you by default will be able to drive more technology adoption because users are using it. So advanced primary care, same thing. The key is utilization of the services just like everything else in medtech. So when it comes to utilization, who would have the highest? Younger, healthier people or older, sick people, right? Now it's starting to make sense, right? Now, let's talk about why did Amazon buy One Medical? Right, so it's a pivot. The One Medical acquisition might be Amazon's pivot into the Medicare Advantage risk business, but there's a bigger picture here. There's a bigger picture, okay? So I know many of you are jumping ahead. You're thinking like, oh, you know, it's so smart of Amazon. They're gonna make a lot of money. There's more money to be made here. There's a bigger thing. There's a bigger thing here, all right? Now, this acquisition, okay, again, It brings 190 clinics into Amazon, a subscription telehealth service, an electronic health record, contracts with thousands of employer clients under Amazon's umbrella. This should technically fast track their goal of assembling a vertically integrated healthcare business to penetrate the employer market, right? Because for those of you who may not have been aware, Amazon created something called Amazon Care, right? Which was a failure, and I'm gonna get to that in a moment, right? Now the deal helps One Medical as well, because obviously it gives them extremely deep pockets and a pool of capital to drive growth during a time of acute economic uncertainty, aka we are technically by definition in a recession, despite what the White House and administration say. Which, by the way, I know there's some criticism against that. I'm not particularly crazy about this administration, but I support that. One of, in my opinion, like one of the things that you must do as a president is that you must be a little bit more confident and positive than what reality might be showing. You know, the more you learn about persuasion, the more you realize like that's a key there, which is the ability to control perception, right, and persuade. So, despite how like poorly it was done, by the way, like let's just get that out there. The administration, when they came out and revealed the numbers for the recession and talked about it, the way they did it was just like god awful. This is terrible. I can leave that for another podcast. So Amazon built its own healthcare service for employees called Amazon Care. Okay, let me tell you about that and why it was a royal failure. Amazon Care was a service that allows employees and families to text or video chat with healthcare providers, usually within like 60 seconds of their request. And in some cases, it just sends a doctor to make a home visit, right? And there were employers that were acquired as customers, but, you know, weren't really impressive outside of a few large ones like Hilton Hotels. Like they announced some companies that Amazon Care was being used by, and, you know, it wasn't impressive, right? I mean, look, I didn't really know much about Amazon Care or that it was even functioning still until recently. And keep in mind, a lot of this came at the heels of the Amazon Berkshire Hathaway JP Morgan joint healthcare venture dissolving. How many of y'all remember? Do you guys remember that? I'm sure many of you completely forgot, but you remember Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, JP Morgan all got together like, yeah, we're going to change healthcare. We hired this person and that person and all these things. And like literally like what, 2-3 years later, they broke up. And the breakup occurred for various reasons. But when it happened, Matt Hawkins, who's the CEO of a health tech company many of you in the medtech industry know of called Waystar, he told Fierce Healthcare what might be the right model. And he said, quote, "A winning model will first solve the challenge of reducing administrative expenses by leveraging these impressive companies' access to advanced technologies, understanding of consumer behavior, and the ability to safely store and analyze data." Which, by the way, I'm just going to say no offense to Hawkins. I'm sure, you know, he thinks that. When you give a quote, I highly recommend you don't have your PR team or somebody write that. There's no way that somebody just said that off the top of their head. There's just too many words. Key point to persuasion, my friends, by the way, and good business writing, simple. Write like less words, simple language. It's way better, right? But anyways, I don't want to take away from the point. The other thing Matt Hawkins said is that the best course of action is to combine the resources available to these large-scaled companies with those of healthcare-focused players who demonstrate deep subject matter expertise and have experience navigating the complexities of the industries. I totally agree. I completely agree. This is why, like, look, again, sorry, Google, no offense, but Verily, which is Google's subsidiary, like, they have all these ventures in healthcare. They've raised over $1 billion. Like, literally, they've raised over $1 billion for all these things. I can't name one Verily product. I mean, I've seen, you know, news releases of, like, you know, their contact lens that can detect whether you're diabetic and stuff, but I don't know of any Google products that are making any change in healthcare. Like, it just hasn't happened, right? Sorry. I hope that changes. So the move to buy One Medical might be the model where instead of Amazon building a healthcare organization of its own, it just acquires one and uses its own technology to enhance it, right? It's like, why build the vehicle to go into a market when you can just acquire one and just make that one run better. I really believe that's the right way to go. When you have deep, when you have billions of dollars, look, it's the same thing in our industry in med tech. Do you see any major company, Johnson & Johnson, Medtronic, Stryker, building their own surgical robotic system? No, they just buy one. It's just a lot easier. Yeah, it's painful to integrate and everything, but you're way better off. Look, Stryker went through hell integrating Mako, but it was the right move because it's a standard now. They could not have done that building it in-house, no matter how much money they have. So, but with Amazon, there's also really interesting synergies. And if you made it this far into the podcast, now you're going to get the good stuff, right? This isn't a, quick reward podcast like, oh, here's a very surface level treatment of what this analysis could be. No, we get deep here. All right. So if you made it this far, good on you. Now you're going to get to the good stuff. So here's where it's interesting. There are interesting synergies to think about now that Amazon has footholds in pharmacy, grocery, and now primary care. Think about that. Amazon does through PillPack has a foothold in pharmacy, right? Through Whole Foods, they have a foothold in groceries. Now they have one medical, which gives them access to primary care, right? So how's this a pivot? Again, I gotta give credit where credit is due. Eric Bricker predicted that Amazon Care was gonna fail back in September 2021, right? He was very apologetic about it. I don't think he should be, but he called it, right? And the reason is that the business model focused on providing healthcare services to employers, which seems like a good idea, except what do we just talk about? Where does the money come from? It comes from old people. These employers, what do you think the average median age is? The average median age was in a bracket that was based on healthcare costs that's not profitable. So here's a quick look, and again, it's a great chart. I'm going to read it to you guys at some companies that Amazon might have gone after. They did not have these companies, but these are examples. Like, you're a tech company like Amazon, you're going to sell to other tech companies. I'm sure they're trying to get these companies. The point is that with lower patient age comes lower utilization of healthcare services. And as I mentioned, anything in med tech or healthcare that has low utilization also has low revenue. So look, here's the median age of these top tech companies. Facebook, 28. LinkedIn, 29. Salesforce, 29. Google, 30. Apple, 31. Amazon, 31. Yahoo, 31. eBay, 32. Adobe, 33. HP, okay, so the ones with the oldest median healthcare age, okay, Oracle at 39 and HP at 39. You know what the problem with that is? Let's go back up to the healthcare costs. Again, this is coming from 2019, so the discrepancy is even bigger. At age 39, your average healthcare cost, if they have insurance, they're spending $5,000 a year if they're insured. If they're uninsured, it's $1,000. It's more than double when you get to 65 plus. 65 plus, they're spending $13,000 a year if they have insurance and $2,000 or $2,400 a year if they don't have insurance. That's a huge difference, my friends, right? Now, One Medical is a business model platform for Amazon to bring its talents in tech and see what it can learn, then improve on, right? The possible outcome from this, aside from increased revenue due to having the right ideal customer profile, which again, 65 plus with high healthcare utilization, is that this also allows for Amazon's technology and data talents to really shine. This is the part that I think is interesting. This is a prediction of mine. We'll see if I'm right. If there's more utilization, then Amazon can start to understand what levers exist to improve healthcare. Obviously to make revenue, money from it, but to actually improve it, right? If healthcare waste can be solved and quality improved with those who are the sickest in our population, I personally believe that those insights, in theory, can be translated to other populations who are younger, healthier, and utilize healthcare services less. Think about it. If you get all this data from 65 plus and you identify certain things in lifestyle and healthcare and everything and say, oh, you know what? We should, I'm making this up. But, let's say young men under the age of 35 should start getting their cholesterol panels checked more often, right? Just as an example, because that'll prevent like heart disease later on, right? Just as an example. When something like that is achieved, you have now put that population in a position to have lower healthcare costs when they're 65 plus again. You take the data from the older people, you say, okay, what was mismanaged with these people's care? How can we optimize it? And then those insights start translating to younger populations through the simple concept that if you get your health right earlier on, you can prevent chronic illnesses later. Like, that's the name of the game, my friends, right? Just look, I think personally, just through the fact that we have Instagram and social media, our generation, I'm a millennial, and the generation below us will likely live longer and be healthier than our parents. And not because we'll have better healthcare. We will have better healthcare. But simply, look, how many of you have changed your lifestyle habits, your dietary habits, worked out more, etc., because something inspired you on like Instagram or TikTok or something, and then you started going down that rabbit hole, learning more about that topic and changing your life in real time, right? Those changes happen sometimes within, you know, a year. For me, that happens like every other week. I learn something new. I'm like, oh, that's bad for me. I'm getting rid of that. Those kind of changes would take years, sometimes a decade for somebody to adopt, right? Now, let me explain how this is going to happen. The proof is in the pudding, but when it comes to business, the proof is in the track record. Jeff Bezos is a master of risk, okay? There's a great book that I'm reading called The Bezos Letters. I don't know how I didn't know about this book. Shout out to Alex Hormozi, who had recommended this book. The Bezos Letter, 14 Principles to Grow Your Business Like Amazon by Steve Anderson. I think I originally, by the way, I would retitle this book. And the reason why, and this is probably, I might have seen this book, but the reason why I may have not purchased in the past is that anytime I see a book where somebody's analyzing somebody's business, I'm like, yeah, maybe they got some insights. It's like, oh, this is what they're doing. No, this guy took a very interesting approach. He analyzed the shareholder letters, all of them, from Jeff Bezos to shareholders since, you know, whenever Amazon went public, I think 1999, right? And he found 14 principles that essentially Amazon built their business around and the shareholder letters focus on. The first three, okay, is test, all right? So when you look at these 14 principles, they fall into four buckets: test, build, accelerate, scale, okay? When it comes to testing, they specifically focus on, Jeff Bezos specifically focuses on encouraging successful failures and betting on big ideas. Okay. Now, Jeff Bezos, if you didn't know this, has made billions of dollars of failures at Amazon's, like literally billions of dollars. Let me jog your memory. You might remember a huge .com failure called pets.com and Cosmo, K-O-S-M-O.com. Those are Jeff Bezos babies, right? And Bezos, in a shareholder letter, not a letter, in an interview, he essentially compared those to getting a root canal without anesthesia. And granted, those things were definitely not fun, but they also don't matter because Amazon has essentially built a culture that constantly tests and that can get results, in huge failures, right? Such as the time they decided to compete with eBay by creating Amazon Auction, right? Huge failure. But then they pivoted and created what, right? Amazon Marketplace, okay? And they allowed sellers to sell on there. Or when they burned $170 million in one quarter creating the Fire Phone because they figured that would be a great shopping experience, right? And in a 2014 shareholder letter, Jeff Bezos said, after two decades, now this is going to get to the key of what One Medical is going to be about. After two decades of risk-taking and teamwork and with generous helpings of good fortune all along the way, we are now happily wed to what I believe are the three such life partners: Marketplace, Prime, and AWS. For those who don't know, Amazon Web Services, which is a cloud platform, made $58 billion just last year. He went on to say each of these offerings was a bold bet at first, and sensible people worried often that they could not work. But at this point, it's become pretty clear how special they are and how lucky we are to have them. It's also clear that there are no sinecures in business. We know it's our job to always nourish and fortify them. Now, if we look at how Amazon used its two other major acquisitions, MGM and Whole Foods, we can get an idea of what they're going to probably do with One Medical. And this is the part of the show where I'm going to piss off a lot of people in specific companies. I'm sorry. I love you guys. I don't mean to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Amazon acquired Whole Foods and used its platform Trifecta, AWS Prime, and Marketplace to then optimize Whole Foods, right? So they started optimizing Whole Foods, what they're selling, how they're selling, etc. Then they used that data to deliver a better customer experience, right? Where things should be placed on shelves, what the flow can be. I mean, all these things. Then they started leveraging the physical storefront for other Amazon services. You can pick up packages, you can return things, you know, you can buy, you know, you can food deliver, right? Then what's the next thing that they use that to start helping third-party sellers make more money, shelf placement, delivery, etc. Then they do what Amazon always does. They leverage the data to see what makes money, right? And then they create Amazon products to compete for price. You know what Amazon vertical blew up? I mean, literally billions of dollars in revenue for them. Amazon Basics, specifically batteries. Amazon was selling a lot of batteries. And guess what they decided to do? They said, hey, the battery business is really good. Kind of a commodity. Let's just make our own batteries. You know what the other thing they did? Amazon Basics, vitamins. Next time you're going to buy your vitamins, check and see which one you're about to buy. I guarantee you it's probably Amazon Basics. You don't even realize it, right? And then when they get products to compete for price, they get even more data, right? Okay. And then with Whole Foods case, after doing all that, they decide to open a better grocery store, Amazon Fresh, which if you haven't been inside, I highly recommend you do. You know, it has no cashiers and it's optimized for the customer. When you walk in, I have an Amazon Fresh here in town. You walk in, you take your phone, you scan, you walk in, it's empty. There's no cashiers. There's cameras everywhere. I grab my groceries and put them in my bag. I don't scan anything. And then I walk out the store. I'm not kidding you. Not a single thing. Like I tried to hide something and see like, are they gonna know that I bought this? I went and grabbed some chips, some pork rinds off the shelf and just put it in the back, charges it. Like that's it. Do you know how insane that is? You know how convenient that is, right? Same path or similar path in a way with MGM. So Bezos told shareholders the day that the deal was announced back in 2021 that it bought MGM because of its vast, deep catalog of much-beloved intellectual property, right? And that it plans to, quote, reimagine and develop that IP for the 21st century. So if you saw what they did with Whole Foods, what do you think they're going to do with MGM, right? If I was Netflix, I'd be pretty concerned about that, right? And Netflix, for those who are not aware, their stock price, like, I don't know, it went down by like 50%. It went down by a lot because it's losing paid customers. Like, people are leaving that platform, right? Personally, that's, I also, you know, credit that to them deciding that they're going to go like full woke and essentially create woke pop propaganda. And, you know, at some point, like, you know, people are just going to say, you know, why am I paying for this, right? I love Amazon. I do love Amazon. I do love Netflix. I think Netflix does produce some great shows. But yeah, like, you know, when you start producing woke propaganda, some people don't want to pay for that. You know, so there's money to be made, right? And again, for those who are listening, I have a nice, very beautiful infographic on what I call the Amazon return on risk acquisition model. Simply put, you acquire something, you optimize it via your platform trifecta of AWS Prime and Amazon Marketplace. You have a data-driven revenue model, and then you have an Amazon replicated model. So with MGM, right, Amazon already had this, but I guarantee you they're enhancing it, but Amazon has Amazon Studios. You don't think they're using MGM's proprietary data and IP to figure out how to make Amazon Studios better? So the last question we have to ask ourselves is, can healthcare get Amazoned? Bezos has always had a criteria for anything and tests that have to be passed for Amazon to enter a new business market. In a 2014 shareholder letter, he said, these are the four criteria. Customers gotta love it. It can grow to a very large size. It has strong returns on capital, and it's durable in time with the potential to endure for decades. So taking the failures but also learnings from Amazon Care and now having purchased a better healthcare vehicle, Amazon can get to work on doing what it does best, which is applying its Trifectra platform to learn and optimize operations and revenue of a newly acquired platform. Then it can reimagine and launch its own. Honestly, this is a golden opportunity for Amazon to pivot into a better business model that generates revenue, right? And as we often see with startups, the first model fails, but you can take those learnings and experience to the next iteration of your startup business model. And Amazon might have a chance to do that. And to be honest with you, when it comes to healthcare, who better to take it on than Amazon, you know? And when you think about these businesses, Oracle, Google, Apple, you know, Amazon, when you're making billions in revenue, when you're valued at over $100 billion, or in Amazon's case, $1 trillion, there's not a lot of things you can just go into. Like, Amazon can't just say, hey, we're going to go and start making, I don't know, you know, office furniture. I mean, it could. It has to take really big bets to continue to grow, because when you're a public company, that is what you're expected to do, is to continue to grow, right? And when you've exhausted so many different industries, there's not a whole lot left. And healthcare, you know, in the United States alone, we spend 20% of our GDP on healthcare. That is a lot. It's a lot of money. And think about, for those of you who are in healthcare medtech, whether you're a physician or medtech professional, how many areas, if you can think about it, like, could get Amazoned would be a lot better. This is the part I'm going to piss some people off, but think about a company like Medline. If I was Medline, I'd be really concerned about this. Why? If Amazon plugs into, when it plugs into One Medical, it has all these clinics, it's going to start figuring out what these clinics spend money on. Disposables, gauze, catheters, all these little things. Things that, you know, companies like a Medline produces, right? And Medline has a phenomenal business model. They're the largest privately held medical device company in the world, if you didn't know that. And look, they have, and they, I don't think they have any debt, and they have a good business model, which is, you know, when a new product or disposal, something comes out to market, they learn from it, they figure out a better way to produce it at a lower cost, and they provide a good product at a much lower cost. But when a company like Amazon enters that game, and you're not like a tech-driven, data-driven company, which Medline is not, it's not to their fault, but they are not, you should be concerned. Because Amazon just needs to turn that on once and tell, like, not only One Medical, right, but every other clinic, oh, you buy, you know, these kind of disposable and everything, well, you can just put it on an Amazon, you know, Amazon Care prescription or Amazon Clinic subscription recurring, and you'll save this much money. Done, right? And you don't need sales reps to do that either. So again, that's a big bet. That's a big prediction. That's one of the things that I can see happening, right? The other thing is employer health insurance, right? So, you know, Amazon's going to be able to hopefully move into that. But me personally, I really believe that they acquired One Medical to essentially apply the Amazon technology and business model to these, to 65 plus Medicare Advantage patients, learn as much as they can, make a better clinic. Because again, if you think about healthcare, like, it's really for older, sicker people. So when you use artificial intelligence and AI and algorithms, you need infinite amount of data and you need good data, which means utilization. Who's going to be doing that? If you have to make your pick, it's going to be somebody who's older, because they're going to have problems. They're going to be going to the doctor more often. And so I think that's why Amazon acquired One Medical. Plus, again, One Medical, it's a service industry, a service business. And again, you know, the CEO from Forward, which is essentially it's a healthcare clinic for people with money. Like, you know, you pay $150-$200 a month and you go there, that's your primary care. I personally would love to use them. But I have health insurance, so I might check them out. But his thing was like, oh, this sucks because, like, they're acquiring a service business and they're not even, you know, One Medical is not even tech business. Yeah, dude, of course they are. You don't need to hire a tech business when you're a tech company. You need to acquire a service-based business in a market, right, who is doing a little bit of a better job than the traditional, and just optimize the hell out of it with what you do best, which is bringing tech into play. In my opinion, it would have been dumb. Like, a tech company acquiring another tech company doesn't make sense to me. I mean, at least within healthcare, within this thing. For Amazon to really have the impact it needs a vehicle. It needs a vehicle. It's just like they wanted to enter the grocery, basic household items world, Whole Foods. Why Whole Foods versus, let's say, I don't know, Albertsons or Sam's Club and everything? Because Whole Foods is a better grocery store. One Medical is a better healthcare clinic. That's what I think is happening. And it's going to be fascinating to see how this changes things, right? But as I said, I wasn't much of a prediction, but I've been saying this for years. I used the Oracle acquisition last year to make that point. Big tech has outgrown a lot of things. It's looking around because all these tech companies, Oracle, Apple, Google, they need to continue growing. Well, what better place to go and grow than a market and industry that 20% of a country's GDP goes towards, which is healthcare. So, that being said, I hope this was helpful for you. If you're listening to this on Spotify, check below in this episode, because I actually run polls. You can answer an interesting poll question, which I'm going to have, and I also allow questions, so you can give me feedback. Who do you want to see on this podcast? What topics you want me to cover? And if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, look, this just takes just like 5 seconds. Go on Apple Podcasts, give this show 5 stars, and write a review. The writing the review is super important. And if you write a funny, witty review, like, I'll highlight that in the show. I'll post about that. If you're on Spotify, go give this 5 stars and subscribe to the show. And of course, if you are a clinician, you want to get a free CME from this, check the notes below. Go click the link. Write a couple of sentences of what you learned. Right, couple of sentences, you're gonna unlock an AMA PRA Category 1 CME credit, courtesy of CMFI, and it's free, no cost for you. The State of MedTech Show, we are paying for that. I made a decision recently where I said, what are we really making revenue wise on these CME credits? I mean, we were making money off of it, but nothing that, in my opinion, was substantial. And honestly, I just think it's much cooler to be like, yeah, we're gonna pay for it, so you get free CME credits. That's my way of saying thank you to the medical community. As somebody who went to medical school and whose father's a surgeon, doctors and nurses and clinicians, hospital staff, they have a special place in my heart. So you need a CME credit, you get one for free, and you can check our other episodes from I think the metaverse and surgery and NFTs and in the medtech space and anything that has a CME credit now, it's free. Whether it's on the blog or the podcast. So that being said, I'm your host and your head of state, Omar M. Khatib. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And as always, I'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The State of MedTech. I'm your host, Omar M. Khatib. Do us a favor, if you like this episode, share with somebody, and go ahead on Apple and Spotify, wherever you are, leave a 5-star review, type a few nice notes about us. This is how we get other people to find the show. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.